The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Look what you've done. Look what you've done in me.
I tried to take my life during that season. Wow. And it was at that lowest of low that I realized in all these other religions, I'm striving to pursue God or be good enough. Even in the religious spirit of Christianity, I'm trying to earn God's grace. But in the gospel, Jesus is in pursuit of me.
Recording artist Tasha Layton, next on Life Today.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tammy Trent, and this is Randy Robison. Welcome to Life Today. So have you ever had one of those moments where you're driving in your car, listening to the radio, song comes on the radio, and it just punches you in the gut? Sometimes you have to pull over, and the tears have overwhelmed you. I've certainly had a number of those moments in my life, but this girl today wrote a song that I thought was just for me. And many of you probably have thought the same. Tasha Layton has now written a book with the same title, Look What You've Done. She's here today, and I can't wait to ask her exactly what God has done in her life. Tasha, welcome. I'm sorry, I just had an emotional moment. I don't know what hit me there, but I think your song, that song is so powerful.
It's the presence of God.
It is, and it has ministered so deeply to so many. But you've got an incredible story leading up to that song. So can you take us back, like for those that don't know who Tasha Layton is, tell us about your life and how you came from A to B writing this song.
Well, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents took me to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every Tuesday night Bible study, every VBS. Yes. But what I knew, I always describe it as what I knew of God was a hard pew and frilly socks that itched because I'm a child of the 80s and being told to be quiet. Mm. That's what I knew, the shoulds and the shouldn'ts. And then when we switched churches when I was 8 or 9 years old, I remember walking in and just sensing the presence of God for the first time. And I was so hungry to know Him after that. I went and studied scripture. I went on missions trips. I joined the youth worship team. I did everything I could do. And that made it all the more painful when I was kind of wounded in church. By a church leader. And I just left the church and went searching. I went to Buddhist meditation camp and synagogue and mosque, and I studied mysticism in Europe for a couple summers because I was just hurting. And at the end of that road, I felt more isolated and depressed than when I started. And the thing that was lacking in all of those things I was seeking out was the power. There was no power in any of it, but Jesus, Christianity, there was a power in it that I had not experienced anywhere else. And I tried to take my life during that season. Wow. And it was at that lowest of low that I realized in all these other religions, I'm striving to pursue God or be good enough. Even in the religious spirit of Christianity, I'm trying to earn God's grace. But in the gospel, Jesus is in pursuit of me. And so that kind of shifted some things for me, and I decided to go back to church. I kind of forced myself. I didn't feel anything. But that changed the trajectory of my life. A year after forcing myself to go, the pastor said, if you want a touch from God, why don't you come up at the end of service and we want to pray for you? And I left 3 hours later. I was just a sobbing mess and ended up, you know, going to seminary and doing all that after. But it was definitely a tough season.
Wow, I guess
for sure.
So.
That's the Cliff Notes version, of your story. I have a couple of questions in there. Number one, what do you think you didn't get as a child in church that made you want to seek, or was it just the wound that turned you away?
I think it was mainly the wounds, because David says in Scripture, I've tasted and seen that God is good.
Right.
I didn't want to throw out God. Mm. I just couldn't reconcile the pain I had experienced in church with what I read we were to be as a community in the Gospels.
Yeah.
And so I needed help and I wasn't getting it where I was. So I went searching.
Okay.
And I think I needed to know. I grew up in the Bible Belt in South Carolina, and I needed to know that I believed what I believed because I believed it, yeah. not because someone had just told me what to believe or some social pressure.
Yeah, as a PK, I get that.
Yeah.
So were you looking just for power, or were you looking for peace? And when you're...
I was looking for peace.
Yeah.
Peace and healing. But what I found in the end was the power of God to do both of those things.
Okay.
It was such a beautiful... an ugly story, mm-hmm. you know, just God was weaving His, you know, story throughout everything I was seeing, but I didn't see His hand at all times.
So did you not, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We both have so many.
All right, so when you talk about suicide, I don't want to put anything on you, but usually there's a reason, and it's not because someone doesn't want to live. Why did that even was that a consideration for you?
I didn't know my worth. I thought that maybe people would be better off without me.
Yeah.
I felt shame from lies in childhood. You know, Scripture says the enemy is the father of lies. He's not powerful enough to take you out, but if he can get you to believe a lie, you'll self-destruct.
Right.
Absolutely. And so he tried to get those hooks in me at a very young age. And here I was seeing different pains throughout my adolescence and even being wounded in the church. I thought that's maybe where stuff started. That's not where it started. It started years before. And psychologists say our systems are set usually before we're 5 or 6, kind of our worldviews and how we view ourselves. And so that's why I wrote the book, because I thought there is a truth that has truly set me free. Mm. But I had to dig out the roots of the lies, where things started. I had to go back further than I thought. And there were things that were subtle in life that I didn't even know were so influential for me. It was the influential stuff that I went to therapy for, that I thought I was going for, that ended up not being a problem once I dealt with the root of the lie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's one thing, you know, when someone tells you God loves you, or you read, you're valuable. When God tells you, it sinks in a way that it's so powerful. God created the world with a word. And so when He speaks, you can stand on that, and it changes you. And it did me. And so I wrote this book. I've got a lot of crazy, fun stories in it. But it's all about His story woven throughout that I couldn't see in the middle of what I was going through.
Absolutely amazing story. When I think about, when you talk about being at that place of wanting to commit suicide, it rips me up to think that there are so many people struggling with that very thought today.
Yeah.
Unseen, unvaluable, that their voice doesn't matter, their life doesn't matter. They would be better off if they weren't here. And we know that is an absolute lie. What would you tell to somebody that's leaning in for listen with you right now, says, I can totally identify with her where she was, but I don't know how to get to the other side. I don't know how to have that altar moment in my life. I don't know how to run down there and spend 3 hours right now with God because I'm so weak and I'm worn out. What would you tell them today? How would you speak into their life?
I would say, if He can do it for me, He can do it for you.
Yes.
And to hold on.
Hold on.
You have more fight in you than you know. And, you know, I like to describe it like this sometimes. You know, you're driving and you see in the side mirror, it says, objects in mirror are closer than they appear. Sometimes the breakthrough, sometimes the shift in life that you're praying for is closer than you think. When bad things happen, when we experience trauma, when we're, you know, feeling what you just described, sometimes we can forget how close He is and that He's right in it with us. Yeah. And that was part of me replacing lies with truth, was going back to those places and asking Jesus, where were you when that happened? Tell me, show me in the room, where were you? This is what I was feeling and this is what I took from that, but what do you want to say to me now? And that process is so freeing. I mean, that's what changed my life.
I love it. What a great word, truly, because it's like we have no idea how close to the victory we really are. And that's why when you say, those aren't to me just fallaway words, hanging on, to not give up.
Yeah.
I think it's so incredibly crucial because we have no idea how close we are.
That's right.
So close.
That's right.
You know, I joked before the program started about the title of the book and how the tone could be different, the meaning could be different, you know,
yeah.
as some of us children, mischievous ones, were, you know, look what you've done,
yeah.
kind of thing, right? there were people that hurt you, and yet you're looking at what God's done in your life. How did you get to a point where you quit looking at what they had done and
yeah.
release that to God? Because I have a feeling that that was a very important part of your healing.
That was a huge transition. I had a counselor tell me at one point, you have no responsibility over what has been done to you or said to you, but you have every responsibility over how you respond.
Yeah.
And what can be done with that.
Yeah.
And I think it has been the moments in my life where I have felt the weakest that have ended up being my strengths, mm-hmm. because in our weakness, He is strong.
Yeah.
And so there are areas where I did feel a lot of hurt and anger
sure.
at how I was treated.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think those areas are the most beautiful in my life to look at it now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I thank God for how He didn't leave me there. He doesn't
thank
leave
God.
Us where
thank
we are.
God.
He
yes.
picks our feet up out of a
thank
pit and sets us on a rock.
Yes.
And he's not going to leave us today the way we are either. He's going to, you know, keep moving us from glory to glory. He's going to keep healing and keep peeling that stuff away and keep healing. It's a process. And mm. and you have to continually come back to it and say, what is the truth? There's no my truth or your truth. There's only one truth.
Amen.
His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And what does He want to say about it?
Yes.
And I think continually through the book and my story, I struggle with, God, what are you doing?
Mm.
How are you going to work this out?
Mm. Are you still struggling with that?
Oh, no.
No, good.
No. Yeah. No.
Okay, good.
Because I return to the same process that I talk about in the book.
Good.
Of,
yes.
God, where are you right now? What do you want to say to me right now?
Mm.
And I think when you begin to know your value in Christ, how God actually feels about you, it changes your viewpoint of the entire world, of yourself, and of other people. You begin to value other people
yes.
in a way that's so beautiful. There's no comparison because you're not competing.
Okay.
You know, you don't have to rip someone or tear them down because you see what God created them to be, and it's beautiful. And
goodness.
I think that was one of the things that stood out to me the most after my time of healing was, oh my gosh, I'm just smiling at strangers in the airport. So I mean, like, I'm doing all these things, and I didn't understand the love of God for me.
Amen.
Was just pouring out over everyone and everything around me, and it's...
I've heard that song so many times, right? Mm. Love it. But now that I know... Mm. the story, your story behind it, I'd love to hear it again.
Look what you've done. How could you fall so far? You should be ashamed of yourself. So I was ashamed of myself. The lies I believed, and they got some roots that run deep. I let them take a hold of my life. I let them take control of my life. But standing in your presence, Lord, I can feel you digging all the roots up. I feel you healing all my wounds up. All I can say is hallelujah. Look what you've done. Look what you've done. suddenly all the shame is gone. I thought I was too broken, now I see you were breaking new ground inside of me. Standing in your presence, Lord, I can feel you digging all the roots up. I feel you healing all my wounds up. All I can say is hallelujah. Look what you've done. Look what you've done in me. You spoke your truth into the lies I let my heart believe. Look at me now. Look how you made me new. Oh, the enemy did everything that he could do. Oh, but look what you've done on the cross.
Such a powerful song. And Tasha, I know you've sung that song many, many times. What does it do for you when you hear your own words reflected back to God like that?
Sometimes I make it through the song and sometimes I don't.
Oh, yes.
I've been many a time in a live situation where I just lose it in the middle of the song. And because I'm so thankful. It never gets old.
Yes.
Telling of how God rescued me from the place I was in and how free I feel now. Like, I never thought I could feel free my whole life. You know, sitting on a counselor's couch at 30 years old and saying, I literally have never felt free to be myself. I've never, you know, fully been vulnerable with those around me. And to feel what I feel now, that song, oh my gosh. My favorite line is, I thought I was too broken, but now I see you were just breaking new ground inside of me. All the stuff. He doesn't waste anything.
Tasha,
you know?
It's the very line I put down
really?
Too. That's my favorite line. I thought I was too broken.
He doesn't waste anything.
No, and so many people think they're too broken.
Yeah.
But you are never too broken or too far gone from freedom in your life, so fight for it. I love that you fought for it through it all. Gosh, I love you. I love this song, I love this book. Thank you so much for going through what you went through to pour so much into us. To remind us to hold on.
I certainly didn't waste it. You know, David says in the Psalms, you, O Lord, are the lifter of my head.
Yeah.
So for those listening who are feeling like they have to fight, it's not all up to you. Mm. You have a God who is pursuing you and who wants to help. He wants to be there in it with you and help heal and save and rescue. That's who he is.
Yes.
So.
And just as we have heard about some amazing things God has done in Tasha's life, I've also been on the front line and seen God do some amazing things in the lives of these families, children. Take a look at this. I'll be back to tell you how you can partner with us and be a part of this amazing, amazing ministry.
Water. Earth's most abundant natural resource. Yet, out of this abundance, only a tiny fraction of it is suitable for drinking. And suitable is a loose definition.
This is their only source of water right here. This is his only source of water. And this is where they have to come every day, all the way down here to get their water. I mean, you can look around and you can see that it is very dirty and muddy, and there are frogs all over that I actually see at the moment, and
you can see the contamination in it. You can see that there has got to be much disease and illness with each sip that they take.
While the problem here is serious, the solution is surprisingly simple, and it's already been implemented in this Central American village.
This is a time when I don't mind watching them stand here and pour water over their head because I know it's good water.
That's right. Yeah. This is a place for which we give great praise to God and gratitude. But we need to drill hundreds of wells like this all over the world. And you can see, if you can't look at these children, look at their faces, look how happy they are, and understand the importance of clean water, it becomes the center of life. Schools spring up. We want children to get an education, and we want them to come and get healthy, clean drinking water.
I give praise, and I am so grateful to God for what He has done through this ministry through the years and what He will continue to do. Thank you so much. If you have partnered with us in the past, thank you. Grateful for you. If you've not had a chance to do it, this is a moment I'm going to take to encourage you to join with us in this fight to bring clean water to people that desperately need it. I have been working with this ministry for many, many years on mission trips all over the world. But you know what? That same heart that I had then, the passion for those children, is the same heart I have today. I'm a little older, a little wiser, but my passion has not changed, and the cause has not changed, and the need has not changed. There will always be a need for clean water. And we'll always find those places where we can go to tell those stories and bring them to you and tell you of their great need to help change their lives, to help save their lives, and to bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We get to be a part of that. Would you consider joining us today? We're going to drill 350 wells this year in 20 nations. And you know what? It takes all of us to be a part of that change. So let me break it down for you. For $48, it will provide water for 10. For $144, it will provide water for 30. And for $4,800, we could go in there and drill a complete well, Randy, that would change the life of so many, about 1,000 people in that village for a lifetime.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we've been doing this long enough that we know we've seen the averages. We know the overall budget, the average numbers. And so we can say $4,800 will basically give a lifetime of fresh, clean drinking water to 1,000 people. And it's a beautiful thing. And I think, Tammy, when I see something like this, I see images where there is dirty water. I see images where children are drinking their only water source. It's not out of ignorance or not out of, you know, just misbehavior. It's out of not having a choice. I just can't help but think of the story of the Good Samaritan, you know, where Jesus says to love your neighbor, and we wonder, who is our neighbor? Well, it's the person in need. And too often it's easy to walk right by. Look, I've been the other two guys in that story too. I've seen a need and I haven't filled it. But what we have right now is an opportunity to say, you know what? I'm going to pause for just a moment and I'm going to share the love of Christ with someone, not just in word, but in deed. I want to show them the gospel, demonstrate the love of Christ. And clean water is a very simple way to do it. And yet it's one of those most basic things that can have a profound impact, not just on the life of a few, but on the lives of many. And that's why it's a privilege, it's an honor to go to people in the name of Jesus and say, this need is filled. We want to fill a lot of needs. We've got a big goal, 350 wells across 20 nations. We want you to be a part of it. Will you go to the phone or will you go online and make the best gift you can? If you've given, as Tammy said, if you've given before, thank you. Please give again. If this is your first time to really consider it, don't walk by. Pause for just a moment. There's no gift that's too small when we come together. Will you go online or go to the phone? Do it now. I pray that you will.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of five. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the Life Prayer Journal, complete with customized art, scripture verses, and inspirational quotes from Life Today hosts and co-hosts. You'll find plenty of room to write down prayer requests, answered prayers, and your own personal reflections as you spend time with God. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessed Cutting Board, a beautiful addition to your kitchen and preparation area. This pine wood cutting board is custom engraved with the word blessed as a reminder of the daily provision of God in your life. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our colorful bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
The Lord is absolutely doing some amazing things, and we would love you to partner with us and be a part of those amazing things and life-giving things, life-changing things, life-saving opportunities that we've been given. We'd love you to be a part of that with us. So go online, call that number on your screen, make the best gift you possibly can give. We would appreciate it so much.
And if you would request this book right here, Look What You've Done by Tasha Layton, we will gladly send it to you when you participate in Water for Life. And so, Tasha, great having you. I have one quick question.
It's my honor.
We don't have much time, but I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Since God's come and changed everything, what has He done since then?
Oh, gosh. For another show.
I have
two miracle babies.
Oh,
we have a full-time ministry. I mean, all the things that I prayed to get to do when I was a little girl, I'm doing all of those things now, so I don't take any of it for granted. It's amazing.
So faithful. Well,
it's amazing.
Just,
yeah. I love my life.
It's great. And you know, you're just going to have to get the book to find out all the wonderful things. And, you know, if you want to talk to somebody, we invite you to call for prayer, and we'll partner with you to see what God can do in your life as you partner with us in ministry and missions and come back. We'll see him again next time.
We'll see ya.
Here on Life Today.
Yeah.
Are you concerned about keeping your family well-equipped to manage your resources when you pass away and leaving a lasting legacy? Contact Life Planning Services today.
Stress had so overwhelmed my body that my body said, enough, and it shut down.
Vance Pittman helps you live the stressless life tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.